The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Magnet Investing. And I am looking forward to today at quarter past the hour. Aaron Brown, the author of several books, The Poker Face of Wall Street being one of the most popular books of the 2000s, is coming on to talk about Red-Blooded Risk, his new book just released, tons of great information. And Aaron happens to be one of the nation's top risk managers, and we'll have a great conversation with him. I'm looking forward to it. So let's go into the first segment here, what Magnet sees, what I see, and what's actually going on. And the most interesting discussion about the market simply has to do at the moment with what's your time frame. And the fact is, if you happen to be really engaged in another business, a student, kind of a passive investor, a world traveler, and you look at your portfolio once a quarter, it actually looks like not much is going on in the market right now. Market's basically flat for the year. Most sectors are not showing all that much behavior. But you know what? You start zooming into the month, to the week, to the day, and there is incredible increase in volatility over the last couple of years. Total, what I say, confusion, a lot of what I think are the most experienced investors will say things like they've never seen anything like this. Now, I don't want to exaggerate, but I will tell you that from my own very personal standpoint, I'm one of the happiest people around. Why? Well, my power and water and electricity and heat came back on last night. So 4 or 5 days of no heat at this time of year, with 17, 20 inches of snow, whatever it was. These are, in fact, pretty epic times all the way around. We're going from the driest period to the wettest period to the snowiest period to who knows what. It seems to me the word I use a lot lately is epic. Everything seems epic. Every explosion in a movie is bigger. The public just seems like they need more to stimulate them. And if you can't find something in the markets that either interests you or stimulates you, then hey, stay as a passive investor. And in fact, in previous conversations, you know, with Aaron Brown on the show, he's pointed out not every environment is ripe to make money. Not everybody is, in fact, ripe to make money in the market. It takes, I believe, an edge. It takes incredible amount of discipline, and it takes an incredible amount of patience with yourself. And not being this perfectionist that says I have to get every single thing right and I have to have every star aligned before I make a move, buy, or sell. And I think we'll talk about that with Aaron in just a little bit. One of the things that actually excites me, again, talking about time frame, I am guilty, like everybody is, of occasionally getting caught up in the time frame. And I've been having the same conversation with several individuals lately when I came across and someone pointed it out to me in the AAII, that's the American Association of Individual Investors. And by the way, AAII.com, if you haven't been over there, it's worth a check. I think the fee to join there is under $50 per year, and it's a wealth of information. But the point I'm getting at is, They picked my first book up, Magnet Investing, took the screens out of those books, and have been running a monthly screen and in hypothetically investing in the stocks that the screen produced every month since 1998. Now, the results are they're showing the Magnet Simple, plain old Magnet Simple, as the number one quantitative screen since 2009 by a wide distance, but also since 1998, I think maybe the third or fourth top screen of the 65 names they're running. And the 65 names they're running, by the way, basically most of them are managing billions of dollars. And the thing that comes back to me is I got caught up during my career of people saying to me, look, I don't want to invest in a fund. I don't want to invest in 30 stocks at a time. What's your number one idea? And then the following day calling me and say, hey, your number one idea is down 15 cents. What's happening? What's going on? And I actually engaged in those conversations. That's my fault. I think that everything would have been a little bit different if I reminded everybody that there is absolutely no way to invest other than the basket of Magnet stocks, whatever they represented at that week, that month, that day. And I myself got caught in following and really maybe becoming attached to individual ideas rather than with all these years of experience talking to you about stocks as if they're players on your team. Now, you might really become to love a player. You might develop an affection for them, an attraction to them, the game-winning shot, and so on. But you also have to be somewhat cold-blooded in the market to say, hey, listen, this player lost his speed. He lost his club speed. He can't jump as high. He can't play defense anymore. Whatever the case would be, very, very objectively to score out a series of metrics to say that when someone shows up, they could be in your lineup for 1 year, 10 years, 15 years, who really knows, or they could be in there for 6 months and wash out. And if you don't get attached to your ideas and you don't personalize your ideas, well, then what's going to happen for you is you will be able to simply acknowledge the fact that this is no longer scoring out high on your metrics, and it's simply time to move on. And that's what Magnet has always been about. And there's an old Chinese expression, I believe it's Chinese, it sounds Chinese to me, that the perfect time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. And the second best time to plant a tree is today. And so I am actually right now in formation to start up the next Magnet Fund right now. We'll figure out what name it's going to be called because it's really a hybrid of both the tried and true Magnet stock selection system of the last 20 plus years. And as you know, we've also started now an initiative called Trust Across America. And as we got into the data understanding what makes companies trustworthy, when you combine the extra financials of corporate governance and sustainability and transparency and corporate governance, well, what you find out is when you combine that with Magnet, you get a very robust set of companies, a little bit larger because that's what data is available for, that simply trounces the market long term, and that's exactly what you'd expect. Why wouldn't you expect that a company is very well managed in terms of long-term approach rather than just gunning for the quarter, if you will? Why wouldn't those stocks outperform in the long term? Well, they do. And when I say long term, that doesn't mean that you buy one stock and you hold it because you selected that stock. The same extra financial rankings move around too. And companies that had a high ranking 1 year don't necessarily have one the next time. But I think one of the things that makes this different, one of the things I'd love to bring Aaron in on the conversation, is this idea of the crowded trade. And a lot of people who call themselves quants are actually using the same kind of metrics, and they all end up in a crowded trade. They own the same stocks. And when all of a sudden rankings change, the mood changes, the mean reversion comes around, whatever the case may be, there's a rush to the exit that always seems too small for the crowd to get through. So one of the things that I believe Magnet has done over the years, one of the things that FACTS clearly does, is it picks names that are not on everybody's lips. And clearly it's fun to be with the darling of the day, but when the darling of the day is no longer the darling, it is hard to get out of that trade. And that's the thing I always want to avoid. It's the tricky combination between using the trend as your friend and being a contrarian. It's a delicate mix. It's the mix between being willing to trust your instincts and have discipline, to have patience and yet be able to move quickly. So these are the things that come to a poker player's mind. It's no surprise Aaron Brown is known as one of the leading poker players in the world for a couple of decades. He's moved into the Wall Street zone, helping some of the largest institutions in the world manage their risk. Should be a great conversation with Aaron when he joins us, hopefully for a couple segments. Again, these markets are tuning up the volatility. There's a couple, by the way, a very large, very sophisticated money managers I have some meetings planned for, and they keep saying, well, hey, it's too volatile right now. I can't meet with you yet. And I say, shame on them. If you cannot take a half an hour meeting and you can't find the time within your week to do that, well, then you're not in control of your own business. You're not in control of your portfolio. You're not in control, period. And I think there's a lot of people in that category right now. They're being emotionally whipsawed. They're being news-driven. They're reacting to noise. They're looking for the sky falling down. And again, with this level of pessimism in the market, I have some tremendous long-term slides that look at some very deep trends, and it's my belief, and who knows if I'm right or wrong, the next 10 years are going to be a whole lot better than the last 10 years in the equity market, and people will continue to fight the battle that they just were fighting years ago. People need to look a little bit more forward, in my opinion. I think this nonsense that America's falling off the cliff, that America's sinking into the ocean, that the rest of the world is right with us, and there's no growth, and there's no demand, and there's no consumer, it's all nonsense, folks. That's the short-term thinking. The cycles are larger. The gross domestic sales product, consumer construction, it's all bigger than it was. It will be bigger in 10 years than it is today. That's only my prediction. The only thing I know what I'll do is I'll stay true to Magnet, and whatever scores up on Magnet, I'll do my homework, and that's where I'll find myself. Folks, when we come back, we will have Aaron Brown on. We'll be discussing his latest book. It's Red Blooded Risk, The Secret History of Wall Street. Stick with us. We'll be back with Aaron following this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing. And we are joined now by Aaron Brown. And the listeners here know Aaron well. He's been with us a couple times. Aaron, before I give you a big introduction, let me welcome you on and thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me, Jordan.
Alrighty. So the reason we're having you on today is to celebrate your new book, The Red-Blooded Risk, The Secret History of Wall Street, a Wiley publication, a beautiful hardcover book with some great illustrations, great content, from what I've got through so far with the lack of electricity at home, but congratulations on your book.
Thanks very much. And actually, I've got a good risk management story about that power outage. We got a trader out here who I'm walking out along the desk, and this is a few weeks ago, and he's supposed to be trading, and he's on the phone with something, and I'm saying, what's going on? He says, I got to buy a generator because Hurricane Irene is coming. So
okay.
He spent all day, finally bought himself a generator, and then he comes in on Monday, and I said, and he said, oh, my power's out. I said, but you told me you just bought a generator, you know, three weeks ago.
Okay.
I said, yeah, you know, I bought it, and then Irene came, and we didn't need it, so I never bothered to hook it up. So the risk management lesson here is, you know, if you're going to take a precaution, you got to go all the way. You're always reacting to what happened yesterday. You're the guy with the unhooked up generator when power goes out.
Oh man, what a cold-blooded story that was. Oh man. But
and by the way, I asked him today, he still hasn't hooked it up.
Well, hopefully, you know, I can't even explain that guy, and maybe my only advice is, Aaron, you double check his credit level over there and make sure he's okay.
Yeah, my theory is he's using all his risk management skills for the firm and doesn't have any left for his personal life.
There you go. But Aaron, let me kind of remind everyone, you know, who's on the phone, because I think it's a privilege for all of us. As the risk manager for one of the largest hedge fund capital management groups in the country, AQR, former risk manager over at Citigroup and Morgan Stanley, and Aaron, I'll pause here to say it's their loss. I think had you been there still, they may have walked through the financial crisis a little bit differently, but also love the fact that you're known as one of the country's greatest poker players for a couple decades and also the author of The Poker Face of Wall Street, and someone really willing to kind of be a little bit different and share how important the skills of poker and the skills of history come with money management. So as I start going through your book, this is so much to cover, and I'm glad you're going to join us for a couple segments. But first thing I may ask you to do, because it's so important and most people don't know it, you dedicate a full chapter to Pascal's Wager. And we don't need to go through the full seven principles of risk management, but I'd love you to address this chapter and what people should get out of it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's some people have heard of Pascal, a very famous French mathematician in the 1600s, most famous for his Pascal's Triangle. And he's also one of the inventors, along with Pierre Fermat, of probability theory back in 1654. But in addition to that, he also, not long after he had done that work, he abandoned mathematics for theology and began writing on religious matters, but he brought his mathematical thinking to that as well, and he came up with Pascal's Wager, and Pascal's Wager says, well, look, you don't know if God exists or not, and you can't possibly know. You know, you can think about it all you want, but it's just going to come down to a matter of opinion. So you really have to make a bet. And he said, well, look, if you bet God exists and you're right, well, you win eternal happiness. Mm-hmm. And if you bet God exists and you're wrong, well, maybe you lose out on some fun you could have had on Earth. On the other hand, if you bet God doesn't exist and you're right, you don't really get that much. And if you bet God doesn't exist and you're wrong, well, you can lose everything. and therefore, he said, you don't really care. It doesn't matter what the probability is. If there's, you know, if you think there's any possibility at all God exists, you should act as if he does. And this is, you know, been criticized by a lot of people. People say, well, you know, it's, he's assuming, you know, if you know God exists, that you know it's the God of Roman Catholicism. Of course, Pascal was a Catholic. And, you know, what if you might think, well, maybe God exists, but what if God's a Muslim? What if God's a Buddhist? You know, how do you possibly approach this? But, but Pascal didn't say, you know, you should go out and be a Catholic. What Pascal basically said is you should be humble and generous. You should be honest. You should live life in a way that, you know, a religious person would. And that this will make you happier in both this life and the next. I don't think he gets a whole lot of respect from religious scholars for this argument, because they tend not to be mathematically inclined people for the most part. But it's a very interesting point from a risk standpoint, because this is really the kind of risks most people face. You know, if you take a course in probability or take a course in statistics, they talk about coin flips and roulette wheels and stuff like that, probability distributions. But, you know, most of the time when you're making risk decisions, you don't really know what's at stake. You don't have a lot of information. You can't make probability. You know, who can say what's the probability that God exists? You know, you believe or you don't believe. And you have to make these decisions that have enormous consequences, and they're not one-time decisions. They're, you know, something you decide every day of your life. And most people, you know, make some effort in the direction of Pascal's virtues for a lot of reasons, one of which is religious, perhaps, for some people. And most people don't live up to them all the time, even religious people who try very hard, you know, slip once in a while. So, you know, it's complicated, and this is what real risk management is. You know, you've got to think, I'm not making a bet on a coin flip that's going to, I'm going to make the bet once, I'm going to find out the outcome, and that'll be that. You know, you have to, these are decisions you have to make every day of your life. You don't have the information you need, but you got to make a decision anyway. And Pascal's, you know, reading what Pascal has to say about this, I think, has at least as much insight about risk management as Pascal's mathematical writings on probability theory.
Right. And the thing that is unsaid here, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that the key point, one of the key points is that the outcome, the expected outcome or the actual outcome is not, even-sided. You either, if one side, the roulette wheel is a winner loser, but it's one thing. But if it's actually Russian roulette and you have a positive outcome, it's one thing. If you have a negative outcome, you're out of the game and you don't get to play another hand, which is the thing that risk managers always make sure you're there to play the next hand.
That's right. That the most important thing, the most important principle is to survive. And if you survive, you can eventually be successful. If you don't, then it doesn't matter what else happens.
Right. And so what I want to do is we'll spend the next segment really going into a couple more chapters. But let me go back again to kind of one of the things I think that makes you very special is your willingness to kind of go outside the box. Write a book called The Poker Face of Wall Street. Talk about how important the skills of money management and the skills of using kind of your instincts, but also not playing every hand. I mean, all of these things, maybe you could pull these things together. I think The Poker Face of Wall Street remains one of my favorite books.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And it is my experience, both in finance and life, that the people who succeed aren't so much the people who are the smartest, the people who are right the most often. It's the people who properly arrange the facts so that they can be wrong a lot and still survive. You know, somebody who's right 99% of the time but bets 100% every time, sooner or later is going to get something wrong and be broke. The person might be right only 51% of the time, but if they're careful not to lose more when they lose than they win when they win over a long period of time, can build up a fortune.
Right, and I think that goes into some of the metrics I think people use of a win-loss ratio, and a lot of people concentrate that. I'm sure I would think the much more important calculation is how much do you win when you're right, how much do you lose when you're wrong, and the whole idea of money management. And one thing I can say Aaron, the reason I've asked you to come on a couple different times is you said something the very first time you came on the show that I wish I had met you 15 years before. And what I'm getting at here is the notion of either the crowded trade or really falling in love with your best position and continuing to average up into it where you actually can't get down from the tree anymore.
That's right. We always like to have an exit strategy, and it is generally true in finance, and I think this is true in a lot of fields, but I know finance better than most, that, you know, if you get some good idea, other people are going to have it too, and they're going to jump into it, and you can make money on it for a while. You can't be afraid of going into it because other people are. You also can't be afraid because nobody else is. You've got to have mm-hmm. your judgment. But you'd kind of assume any time you get into a trade, you figure at some point, I'm not going to have this the rest of my life. I am going to get out. And when I get out, I'm probably going to take some sort of a hit. I'm going to get out because it's crowded and everybody's getting out because company's going bankrupt, whatever. And what you really want to do is not try to get things that will never hurt you, never go bad, but things where you make enough money while you're in it that you can afford to take a bit of a loss when you get out. You know, you get into a stock at $10, it goes up to $50, and, you know, then it starts selling off, panic, whatever, you might get out at $40, but you still get a nice profit. If you, you know, jump into the stock at $45, and it goes up to $50 and then falls to $40, then you're in trouble.
Right.
So you really got to really concentrate on taking enough risk, you know, to make a good profit, but always have it in the back of your mind until that stock is sold, until the money's in the bank, you know, there's a loss going to be associated with it. And so, you know, you haven't, your unrealized profits are not really all there. You got to hold against some kind of a reserve for what it's going to cost you to get out.
Right. Well, I'm going to promise I'm going to keep listening as you keep talking. The fact is it's a really pleasure to have you on. It's great for everyone to hear you. It's what I'm going to do, Aaron. I'm going to take a quick break, but I want to get into when we come back this notion of cold-blooded, red-blooded, and different personalities, maybe how they could recognize who they are, maybe improve their results as all part of that. And once again, we're on with Aaron Brown, the red-blooded risk, the secret history of Wall Street. The book just came out. And let's also, before we go to break, give some credit to your illustrator, some great, not only cartoons, but even portrayals of individuals. And I give you just a ton of credit. Great book. And we're going to be right back with Aaron Brown right after this quick break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio, dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magna Investing, and we're talking right now with Aaron Brown, risk manager at AQR Capital Management, and his new book just came out. It is Red-Blooded Risk, The Secret History of Wall Street. Do yourself a favor, everyone out there, pick up a copy, read it, and go back to read Poker Face of Wall Street. And let's throw in, while we're at it, A World of Chance that you co-authored with a couple other guys. But what I want to deal with right now with this time is, Aaron, I know you have some pretty strong feelings on the crisis, really the financial crisis that started back in 07, continues to resonate through Wall Street, and I know you have some pretty strong opinions on bailouts, and I'd like you to share those, and maybe we can reduce further risk by treating bailout situations a little differently.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, it's an easy one today because everyone hates bailouts, and I've been saying it for a while. And there's the things that, you know, everybody hates about them, right? They reward the people who did the bad thing. They encourage people to keep doing bad things. They give money to rich people when, you know, the real suffering is less rich people who could really use the money. One of the things I said at the time, and this is way back in September 08 when this is under discussion, I said, look, nobody knows what's going to happen. So, you know, save your $700 billion, which is what they were talking about at the time. It's since risen to about $1.8 trillion. Let everything, you know, collapse, happen. Then look around and see, okay, you know, here are the people who need help. Here are the people who are hungry, or the people who lost their jobs. Here are the people who are poor, whatever, and help them. If you throw the money in the mix now, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, and it might go to people who don't need it and don't deserve it. And this is in fact what did happen, when you're left with the aftermath, you're now not going to have the money to help the people who need it. But I have another objection that isn't so well known, and that's failure is an essential part of the financial system, the economic system. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem in 2007, 2008 wasn't that, you know, there were all these firms failing. It's they were all failing at once. These are firms that had all been propped up and you know, protected by very, very low interest rates, by government deals from over the previous 10 years, from like 97 to 2007. If they had failed one at a time in those years, there would have been some pain, but we could have survived it. But when they all failed at once, they kind of clogged up the drain. You know, and if you're working for a company and the company fails, if they fail in a good time, well, you can go get another job. But when they all fail at once, there aren't any more jobs. You know, if you're banking at one of these places, you can go find another bank. But if they all fail at the same time, there aren't enough banks. And the bailouts are just a terrible idea, not just for the sake of justice and fairness and incentive, but because if you're not willing to allow failure, you're never going to have a healthy system.
Right. And the thing also I think we should add there is that once you know that bailouts are coming, you embolden people to take risks that they shouldn't take if they didn't think a bailout was around the corner. So people say, heads I win, tails I get bailed out. Why not take this risk? That's really not risk. And I think that's probably, you know, one of the toughest parts about these bailouts as well.
Yeah, and but, I want to focus on another thing that I think people sort of slide over too fast. I always talk about bailing out the banks, but the rule is you don't bail out a bank, you bail out its creditors. So when the government came in and it, you know, saved AIG, it didn't, you know, that didn't do any good for AIG. Their shareholders got wiped out and they were run by, you know, they got taken over by the government and all. But it bailed out everybody who had done business with AIG.
Right.
And
right.
That means, and those are the people we really should be talking about, not the banks, but the creditors of the banks, the people who lent money to them. And you just really have to, you know, make those people take losses. Maybe they don't lose 100%. Maybe you say, okay, the financial system can't stand that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, take a 10, 15, 20% haircut. You know, say, okay, you know, you got to have some lesson for having
I say, this. I say take them to the barber, give them a haircut, and move on. But here's what I want to do. In the time we have left, I think it's kind of great the way you kind of categorize the individual modes of approach. And I want you to just kind of get into it for a few minutes, what you describe as the red-blooded, the cold-blooded, and I think it means a lot to me, frankly. So why don't you kind of share your thoughts on that?
Sure, and this is how I came up with my title. I've been dealing all my professional life with risk-takers, and they kind of fall into different buckets, and it's, you know, some people have what I call a thin-blooded attitude toward risk, which is basically that they're afraid of the risk. Now, there's nothing morally wrong with that. You know, you can be a very good person and not want to take any risk. There are plenty of good jobs and you know, mm-hmm. what work somebody can do like that. But what you don't want to do is get into finance or even investing your own money in any kind of non-traditional way. And these people are basically motivated by fear. You know, they always think of the downside. They always think of the fear. And then on the other extreme, you have hot-blooded people. And hot-blooded people are thrill seekers, and they like the risk for its own sake. And, you know, that's fine if they want to be rock climbing or skydiving or something like that. But you just can't do that with money.
Mm-hmm.
You have the cold-blooded people. The cold-blooded people reduce everything to money, and they, you know, they sort of can look like they're competent risk takers. They look very rational, like they're doing the right thing all the time. But these people are actually the most dangerous. These are the people who like bring down institutions because they can't see that, you know, in their times when not everything adds up in money.
Mm-hmm.
And the term I use for the kind of risk taking I recommend is red-blooded. A red-blooded risk taker is somebody who's excited by risk. They like challenges. You know, they're at their best when things are a little uncertain and there's some innovation and chances to be taken, some experimentation, some adventure. But they're not thrill seekers. They're not motivated by that. They're not doing it because they enjoy the risk. And they're not thin-blooded. They're not only thinking of the downside. They're not primarily motivated by fear. And what I say in the book is I'm not a psychologist. I don't know how to, you know, if this is what you want to do is be that kind of a person, I can't help you. You have to go somewhere else. I kind of think people have their attitudes young and they should stick with what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to invest, if you're going to be in finance, you have to think like a red-blooded person, even if that's not your basic nature.
Right. And so I love the description. I also, there's a couple things that are important that, number one is knowing who you are, and really I think that's one of the biggest parts, because a lot of people shouldn't be managing any money, their own or other people. But then there's another thing too that you got into the first time you're on the show. I'll repeat it kind of quickly, but we'll take it to the next step. One of the things you said is when you sense something and you see something, you need to act on it. And by watching a trend develop, oftentimes you'll jump into that trend too late. And I thought that's, you know, great advice. But then there's something else too, which is I think part of the problem of 07-08 is I believe in quantitative screening. This is what I do. But what if I'm wrong? And I think that there's a lot of hubris out there where people think my model is right and I have to be right, so I'll average down, I'll defend my positions. And I think you talk about having the instinct to make a decision, but also having the brains to say, my hand turned dead and I'm folding. And I want you to kind of share that a little bit.
No, that's absolutely true. Whenever you go into, and this can be talking about a trade of somebody who's, you know, a day trader, you'd be talking about a long-term investment, whatever. Whenever you go into something, you have obviously an expectation of profit. And if it goes against you, you know, you were wrong. Now, maybe you weren't totally wrong. Maybe in the long run you'll be proved right. Maybe something kind of disturbed in the intermediate. But it's just crazy to keep the bet on, because once you're wrong, you want to get out. Now, maybe it will come back, but then you can get back in when it starts to come back.
Right.
These are the bets that, you know, you don't want to make. You're doing them out of pride or stubbornness or laziness or something. You know, whenever you get into a trade, you got to have a stop loss. You got to say, okay, I think I'm right. And I'm willing to lose this much if I'm wrong, and don't lose more than that. And I think if you do that consistently, then you always survive and you learn and you eventually succeed. If you don't, and there are plenty of people who are, you know, successful lots of the time, now all they have to do is make one mistake and it kills them. And that's, you know, that's what you have to avoid.
Right. And that's why you're in your office overlooking, your screens and making sure everyone's keeping rational, not getting emotional, not taking it personally. And again, I think that the difficult thing I see, Aaron, is, you know, people that begin to personalize and begin to trade out of pride, probably go down the chute the fastest. But there's only a couple minutes left. Again, I want to congratulate you on the book. It looks beautiful. It's got your wit. It's got your willingness to go outside the box. And remind people again, I know your very first chapter is what it's really there for and why they should read it. And I'm going to let you kind of end with that thought, if you could bring that out for us.
Okay, yeah, I think risk is something that's very, very important and not very well understood. And obviously, you know, if you work in finance, especially in sort of the, you know, more trading-oriented or hedge fund kind of finance, you know, you deal with this stuff every day, but you deal with it just as much in any other part of life. And you have to think about it. You got all kinds of psychological biases that, you know, try and make you feel about risk wrong. And you got a lot of marketers out there trying to sell you something. They might be politicians, they might be mutual fund salesmen, whatever. And all they're trying to do is sort of play on your biases and superstitions about risk. It's something you really just got to face up to and think about. And when you do, it's not so complicated. I don't think there's anything in the book that people don't know. It's just stuff you got to have the confidence to think, yeah, I know that. That's right. And all the things people are trying to tell you about it to do things in ways that just don't make common sense. You got to reject, and you've got to do it for yourself. You don't have to be right all the time. You don't have to never make a mistake. You have to be willing to make mistakes and admit them. And this is how people succeed.
Fantastic. And again, if you choose not to take the risk, you sit in the money market, you earn zero, you get eaten away by inflation, and you're a loser by default.
Yeah, you've just taken another risk. You don't have the choice not to take risk. The only choice you have is which ones to take.
Smart.
And generally the idea is, you know, you sort of mix them up. If you take 10 smart risks, you'll probably do okay. If you take one risk, smart or dumb, in the long run, you're not going to make it.
Right. Perfect. So, Aaron, thanks for the time today. It's great for you to join us. It's Aaron Brown, the author. The book just came out, Red-Blooded Risk, The Secret History of Wall Street, known as one of Wall Street's top risk manager for years. Aaron, thanks so much for the time today, and I hope to catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much, Jordan.
All righty. We will talk soon. Folks, we got to take a quick break. We could talk to Aaron for hours, and frankly, everyone should be lucky enough to do that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap it up after this.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
from the boardroom to you. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
Alrighty, and welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And frankly, I would have a conversation with Aaron Brown every week if I could. The problem is you have to manage many, many billions of dollars to have him in your corner, and he is the one of the leading risk managers in the country, and I really just recommend to everybody, read his books, read his thoughts. He thinks a little bit differently. He's willing to kind of turn things on your head, on the head, if you will, a little bit, to think them of a little differently, and I think that's exactly what you need to do to be successful. Think for a minute when you're figuring out a way, if you could ever have a reverse commute and you're speeding down the highway, you see people sitting in gridlock, you know you're doing something a little bit different. It's okay. In the case of the stock market, somehow people feel like they need to be in a crowd. They need to be surrounded by people saying and doing the same things along with them. And remember, you know, you look at the bell curve, which is what Magnet really is all about and talks about for years. Basically what we're saying is that not everyone is a superstar. Not everybody wins golf tournaments. Not every company, by definition, can be great. And you laugh, you hear these stories that 85% of people think they're above average drivers. Well, it's not possible. There's something called the median, and half are better than the others, and you got the message. So the whole point is trying to figure out, if you can, where is your edge, what is your edge, and also, you know, very importantly that I kind of wanted to try to bring out in that conversation is this concept that you don't have to always be right. You could be wrong often and still be very, very good at investing, but what you cannot do is allow your ego, your pride, your emotions to take away from your discipline. And what happens is you could take a look at a draft pick. I talk a lot about sports. Well, you could be really, really well-versed in understanding what makes a great player, and you do your research and you draft somebody, and you've followed them for years, and you put them through tests, and you put them through physicals, and the player turns out to be a bust. Well, at that point, you have to make a decision. Well, one idea might be to give them more money, to give them more plays, to run more plays through them, to give them the ball more often. But if you think about it, what you'd probably wish you'd be able to do is say, you know what, I was wrong. And I'm actually not going to continue to be wrong. The key is not to be wrong for long. And the thing is, a lot of people will sit around and really freeze when it comes to investing, because when you look, for example, at the Magnet model, and there's 19 different things that are being scored out, well, what happens here is that some things are less than perfect. And you say, well, kind of like when you buy a house, you might say, well, I don't want to live on a busy street. I would like to have a big backyard. I would like this many bathrooms, this many bedrooms. You kind of put everything through a metrics. Not everything is perfect. You say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But when it comes to stocks, there is no perfect stock. And when there is a perfect stock, by the way, and I have found them, it doesn't mean they're going to actually generate extremely high returns. The whole idea that we talk about here is probabilistic investing, putting the odds deeply, deeply in your favor, and then using risk management to make sure that you can continue to keep playing new and future hands. The biggest problem comes is when you do think it's perfect, when you put all or nothing in, when you are not willing to make a mistake, when you are not willing to sell, when things start to go against you, when you begin to average down and then double down and then throw it all in a desperate, heroic attempt to save yourself. Those are the things where people blow up and get destroyed. Those are the people, frankly, that Aaron Brown polices wherever he's been to make sure that they are removed from the environment before they can cause firm-wide damage. And this is the whole key, to realize that we may not be the smartest. I've said many times in the world of business, I take Darwin's theory about evolution, and it's not the strongest that survive, but it's the most adaptive that survive. You don't need to be the strongest. You don't need to be the smartest. If you could figure out an edge and put that in your favor, that's really what investing is about. So what I've said on this show for years and years is that there's a lot of ways to invest in the market. Magnet is but one of them. We've had on day traders. We've had on value investors, momentum investors, all different walks of life to expose you to different ways of thinking. But what Aaron was talking about, in a sense, was really knowing who you are. Are you cold-blooded? Or if you're thin-blooded, you probably shouldn't manage your own money. You go to a fund, you do what you're good at, and you let other people get old watching the market minute to minute. You could figure out who you are, what you do, and the key here is that if you do make the decision to get caught by the media, the world is crumbling, the sky is falling, sit in a money market and wait for the all-clear sign. What you need to know is every once in a while, every couple of decades, it's all blue. It's clear. It's beautiful. The future looks great, and everyone gets invested. At that point, the valuations are the highest. At that point, the fall is the deepest. So I have these beautiful slides that show these 10-year returns. And every time, there's been four times where there's been a return approaching 18% in the stock market over a 10-year period. At that time, the media, the public is enthralled by the market. They want to have everything all in. And each one of those four times has led to a dramatic bear market. Well, at least so far, and we always say future doesn't predict the past and so on and so on. You know what I mean by that? Well, every time there has been a severe 10-year period with a 2% or lower return, the next 10 years have actually been a great time to be in the market. Well, great time to be in the market if you know what to own. So the whole point I get to you is I believe, frankly, we're at a turning point. I believe maybe we haven't seen the absolute bottom of fear and horror and lack of trust and all these things that led people to the money market. But come 10 years from now, people will look back at their charts and say, why was I so fearful? Why couldn't I go against the grain? What made me stay in the money market? Why didn't I load up? And I go back to a thing that someone told me, and it's Michael Burke from Investors Intelligence. He was like wide-eyed saying, look, there was a time, Jordan, when the yield on the market was higher than the yield on treasuries. And man, that was really rare, and it was a huge time to invest. Well, guess what, folks? The yield on the market is now higher than the yield on the treasuries. This only happens once every couple decades itself. It's a result of a lack of trust. It's a result of fear. It's a result of media with the 24/7 fear-mongering about this, that, the other thing. I mean, my God, I don't know how anyone could invest, which is frankly why you probably should invest. So we don't ever give you ideas. We never tell you what to buy. We never tell you what style of investing is best for you, because that's a very personal decision. But what I can tell you, go over to AAII.com, sign up for it, look at the magnet screen. It is one of the top screens now for 15 years. Go over to Trust Across America. Trusttrust.com, which is our site, which talks about rebuilding trust in business and the new fax model that's been born from it. The Magnet Investing site is not quite like it should be. There's some major, major professional announcements I'll be making. We'll get that site recharged, and a new place for the individual who doesn't frankly have the time, interest, or maybe psychology to manage your own money, to be managed according to the Magnet method of investing. By the way, folks, if you haven't read my books, The Magnet Method of Investing and Magnet Investing, both up on Amazon, both continue to sell well, and both offer you what I think you need to get started. You have to read, you have to learn, you have to invest. And not investing is not an alternative. Folks, have a great week ahead. We'll see you. Power's back on in the Northeast. The heat feels good. The water's running. And we'll see you next week. More running water, more stories to share. Have a wonderful week ahead. We'll see you next week. Thanks again.
The Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.